one of our state convention. Brother George was asked to go speak at a rural church there at a convention in Georgia. This young lady came up at the end of service. Him and the pastor were standing at the back door, waiting to receive him as he went out. And the young lady said, "I've got to share my testimony with you from the Gideon." And he said, "That's fine. I would like to hear it." So at the end there, she said, one day while she was in the Army in Oklahoma, said the Gideons come there to the base to hand out the little testaments. We give a small testament. It's not like this, but it's camouflaged to the military. She said all her and her six friends took one of the Bibles. There was a lot of them. Throw them in their bunks, throw them in lockers, other places. And she kept hers close, and she started reading it at night before she went to sleep. So she got to notice that after a week or two, one but two come and started reading their Bibles at night. And said finally they all joined in a circle of friends around, and they read, and they discussed what they were doing, studying the Bible and all. They became close, and they started reading this. And in a few weeks, they accepted Christ there. And all, over the next few weeks, they all accepted Christ as Lord and Savior. So all of them accepted Christ. Shortly thereafter, she had a bad accident. Both her legs was messed up. The doctors told her she would probably never walk again. While there, she kept thinking that God was going to bless her. Sure enough, he did. She was able to get back up and start walking and running and all. And over the course of time, she got the word that they was going to call her troop, all the circle of friends, to Iraq. The doctors told her, said, "You cannot go." Said, "You're not strong enough for combat duty." Said, "You're going to have to stay here in Oklahoma. You cannot go." So you can imagine how that was. They had built that bond, that closeness together. So anyway, she had to stay there, and her other friends left. After a short time in Iraq, all six of her friends was together. A roadside bomb went off. It killed all six of her friends. How sad it was, but they did know Christ. And I like to read what she said here that she quoted. This is a quote from her. We don't know her name, but she wrote it down. He asked her to write it down so we'd have it. She said she was thankful they had received those New Testaments and each received Christ as a personal Savior. If this young lady did not have a New Testament and the peace that God's Word gives us, what comfort would she have had knowing all six of her closest friends has just been killed? When we come to something like that, it helps us get through that and thank the Lord that she was given that testament and that she had the fortitude to read each night. And the rest of them started reading and joining in with each other. A little bit about who we are. We are born again Christians, members of a local church. I'm a member of Mill Creek Baptist Church on the other side of the county. In good standing, we have to have a recommendation from our pastor. We cannot become a deacon. If the pastor won't write us a recommendation, we cannot become one. We're businessmen and professional men. Our organization was started back in 1899. We are in over 200 countries today. I pulled it up last night just to be sure I didn't mess up. We're in 200 countries around the world. We print the Bible in 95 different languages. We place the Bible in designated traffic lanes of life. Most of you know the hotels and motels where we can get in them. Some of them are refusing to let us in now, but most of them we still can get in. We also go to hospital and convalescent homes. I hope you find those when you go there. We also go to the testaments to the fifth graders where possible. In Union County, we cannot give to the fifth graders. Stanley County still lets them give to the high school over there, but we cannot do it in Union County. So I ask that you pray for that we can get back in our schools. Bibles do make difference. And all. We also give to the Union County Jail. We go there to the prisoner's witness. We have two or three guys goes to Union County Our sheriff allows us to go right down into the jail cells. The prisoners come out at picnic tables they eat at there in the jail cell. But we get to witness to them for an hour on Saturday morning. I don't know of another organization can go actually go down. Our pastors has to look through bars to talk to someone there in the prison. But they allow us to go right into the jail cell itself. And I thought how hard it was. I'm doing some work over in Stanley County right now. And they said over there they've got to look through a little bitty hole that they pass their food through. So they carry a little stool, a little chair so they can sit down. That's how dedicated some of our Gideons are to going and witnessing to these men and passing out a scripture to them there in the jail. I forgot about the university. We have changed the covers. We look old and all, not stale. But anyway, we've changed the covers. They've about four different designs we give out to the college students. And over the last several years, I don't know how many comments we've had that the kids say we really like these because they're different. They're not the old plain Bible like our old brown PWT, Personal Workers Testament. So they like the new design and all. And if they'll read it, I'm glad of it. I'm proud of it. Whatever it takes to get them to read it and all. Also, we give to our policemen and firemen, our armed forces when we're available, as I just read the testimony there. And that's what we as Gideons come and visit your congregation to let you know how God is using the seed that we are sowing. By God's grace, we give out over 84 million copies of God's Word last year. That's over 2 per second, over 120 per minute. We reached the 2 billion mark that we've given out since 1888 when we started. We actually did not start distributing them until 1908. So since 1908, we've given out over 2 billion scriptures worldwide. And God's Word, to show you that God's Word does not return void, as it says in Isaiah 55:11. It's fulfilled as men, women, boys, and girls come to Christ through reading a scripture placed by Gideon or auxiliary. Auxiliary are our wives that choose to belong to the auxiliary. They go out to doctor's office, dentist offices, lawyer's office. They just started being able to go to veterinaries and other places. They go to they give to the nurses in the hospital, convalescent and all. They're able to give them PWT, a personal worker's testament there. So these are what we do there. And if I have to look down and read at some of my testimonies, I've tried to get new testimonies, and I picked up several lists last week off the internet. If you go on there, you can see a lot of the testimonies. We get so many in now, we don't print them in books. They're on there. But how good it is to read these and all. And the title of this one is Taking Inventory. And matter of fact, it has come on there in the seventh month. The ninth day. It tells about his cousin, says, and come approached him and offered him a job, said, I need some help. They said, I'll pay you $3,000 if you'll store 2 tons of marijuana and deliver it to El Paso, Texas. This was in Mexico. $3,000 in Mexico is a lot of money. He agreed to do it. He said his whole house smelled, that even his children and his wife. I can't even imagine storing something. I don't care how much money it is in my house for that. But he did. He chose to do it because he needed the funds. And he stored it there, said his whole house, everything in his house smelled like marijuana. He got by with it. He come across to El Paso, delivered the drugs. It got along a little while later. His cousin come back to him again, said, it was right before Christmas. He needed some money to buy gifts for his kids and his wife and stuff at Christmas time. He said, I need your help again one last time. So he agreed to it, said, no problem, said, I'll help you again. So anyway, it went on, and he started in the cars in the compartments. He started across at the border into America. There, the immigration officials were sitting there waiting on him. He got arrested. He spent the next 5 years of his life in prison. While there at the prison, as I said, the Gideons go and offer him a New Testament. He took one of the New Testaments and started reading. He read in Hebrews, as we were studying in the Sunday school class I went to this morning, the first chapter of Hebrews 1 through 4. It told him what he needed to do with his life and how God, and he kept reading because it created interest in him, and he kept reading that Bible while there in prison. He got out of prison and knowed he had to change his life and do something with his life. He finished his sentence, left prison, and he started his own business there in Mexico. Now where I used to store 2 tons of marijuana, I now keep New Testaments because today I serve the Lord in the Giddings International. His house went from being a place to store marijuana to slip into America to being a place for God, storing the scriptures before we distribute them out to people. And this is presented by Al Arto Laredo, and we just received his testimony. And the stolen book. April recently came to a Sunday school class in Claiborne, Texas, and shared this testimony. I asked her to write it down. The teacher asked her, he was a Gideon, asked her to write it down so he could share it. It says that she was placed on a prayer list in 1976. Her testimony has been going on a while. Those Baptist ladies, like a lot of you, said prayer or prayed for me fervently. I was very lost and deep under conviction when she went there. Not long after that, I had to go to the hospital. She said while she was at the hospital, she got one of the paperback Bibles that the Gideons had placed there in the hospital. A lot of you know if you go in and look in the nightstand there in the hospital room, there's a paperback Gideon Bible there. She said she started reading that. She did not get finished when she was dismissed. She says, I stole it. She took it out. And she said a few weeks later, she was invited to a church where I became a Christian. By the time I had read the Gideon Bible repeatedly, she said she kept reading it over and over. God told her one night, said, you need to return that Bible you stole. She must have lived out of town a little ways. She said she had to ride a bus now. How many of us, we stole a Bible or something, would go to this extreme to do it? She rode a bus that don't say how long to take that Bible back. She said she got to the hospital there, said she really didn't want to carry it in and leave it because she didn't know what she was going to read when she got back home. But said God had told her to take that Bible back. She said she got to the hospital, said she run in, dropped it on a coffee table, said then she took off and run out of the hospital. Said she got back on the bus and said she cried all the way back to her home because she didn't know what in the world she was going to read or what she was going to do to keep in touch with God at home. When she got home, one of them Baptist women had done been to the house and had left her a whole Bible there in the place of it. And she wrote in her testimony how good God is when he looks at us like he does. The Gideon Testament started, but then one of the Baptist women finished it there and all. And I like to read what she wrote at the bottom here, and she signed her name. Thank you for your precious ministry. You have no idea how God uses what you do. I have led many people from many nation to Christ because of that stolen book. God bless all you. April Westbrook. So we don't ever know when we place a Bible or something. I wish we know just a few of it. But we don't never know how many people it's going to touch when we place it there. God's word still works, folks. It still reaches people when they need to be reached. And all. A little bit else is one of the things that I'm proud of. We've been praying for this for a number of years, ever since I've been in the Gideons. I can proudly say this morning that we are in the Republic of China. We placed over 1 million copies of God's Word there in China, or 2.8 million copies in 14 different provinces in China. So we are there. It's sort of underground, but we're there. And they allowed us to talk about it for a long time. We've been in there several years, but we couldn't talk about it in churches in the open. But they've recently, in the last 6 months, they told us we can talk about it now. We are there. And I thought an interesting thing that they wrote there in this article, too, said 1 in 3 people live in the continent of Asia. That's hard to believe in. But it says that last year, over 1 million scriptures per month were placed in the country of India. Over 1 million copies a month was placed in the country of India. That's how many people is there. We've got 9 million scriptures on hold right now that needs to go to some of these other countries. The Gideons do not borrow money to send them. We've got to have the funds. They come from churches or like yours or from the Gideons. We just had at the international convention, I think the total was, what, 9-something million or something dollars. And we usually reach that goal each year. It just ended in international. And I'm not saying that bragging on the Gideons because we never take credit for what we do. We give credit to God where it belongs. But we need the funds to buy these scriptures to supply them. Because a lot of people, and I know that's hard to believe here in America, because I'd hate to think how many Bibles I got there in the house. Because I see another one I really like, and I think it's got something different. I purchase it, and probably all of you got probably 7, 8, maybe 10 Bibles or more in your house. But to think somebody has never got one. And I heard a testimony here a few weeks back, said they was in a distribution overseas and said they'd give out almost 50 cases. And they told the guy, said, there's no more testaments here. They said, but I just want one. They said, they're all gone. How bad they want them. He said, do you mind if I look through the boxes and see if you've missed one testament? I told him, no, go ahead, look through them. He went through all those 50 cases. Guess what? God put one there in the last box he picked up. People are hurting in different places for God's word. That's why we do what we do, and that's why we go speaking all. As Gideons, we are your missionary, extended arm of your church. As your mission team just got back, we're the same thing. We go and distribute God's word and give it out. As same as your church reach people for Christ, that's our main mission, our main goal in life. You might ask, how can we help? Prayer keeps being the number one reason that what we need in the Gideon ministry. We have a prayer breakfast on Saturday morning. We have a meeting through the week. Prayer is the reason we get the things done. If we go on a distribution in a motel or hospital, convalescent home, you'll see the Gideon stop outside that place before we go in and pray. So we need your prayers. We covenant them. That's the reason we're in the 200 countries we're in, and we print the Bible in over 95 languages. And the reason we plant them in a lot of these languages is because they're not any good to people if they can't read them. They've got to be able to read them. The financial cost, of course, it costs to put the Bibles out there. Each Bible like this costs approximately $5 to purchase and distribute it. Each little testament costs $1.35. That's not a whole lot in everything. Each Bible like this is placed in a hotel or motel, usually has a lifespan of 6 years. We go back and check it and make sure there's no writings. We flip through it, make sure no pages is bent or nothing's been spilled in there and all. You'd be surprised. And some people think they have to write and help God a little bit. So we have to take those out and replace them. We go usually try to go twice a year and check the hotels and motels. And go to the hospital and convalescent home and make sure they're there and all in good order. Because you want an attractive Bible. If it's dirty and nasty, you're not going to pick it up, are you? But we try to keep them fresh and good looking there. We, as when we go out on these distributions, and when I go to speak, I think I told someone this morning, I think I've just majored just for curiosity. If you go 200 the other way, it's 30 miles exactly to my house coming through Monroe. But I live as far as you can go without going into Stanley County on 200. But anyway, I'm not saying that to try to say, look at James, what he does for God. No, I don't do near enough. But if we go to a distribution, we do it with our own finances. We're not paid. Like one of the guys at Stanley County said, who pays y'all to come out here to the jail? And Brother Keith Bird, he's a great dear friend of mine, he said, nobody pays us, God pays us. And that's how true it is. It's what it is. We usually give out around 2,600 scriptures each year in Union East. That's everything from 200 East or 601 East of Monroe, the other way of Monroe. And when we're not here, you should have a Gideon card rack in memory, praying for you and thanking of you. I encourage you to use it. You can place Bibles in memory of someone for $5 for each Bible. You can place five for $25. What a great way to say you thought a lot of this family in person and all. It's a great way to say that there. I know my cousin helped me out when I was trying to look after my uncle, and I lived about 12 miles away, and she helped me put some eye drops in. I told Dean after we got through, she had to do it every day, and I put them in twice, and she put them in twice. I sent her a card with five Bibles, and she called me and saw me a few days after that, and she said, you know, nobody's ever done anything that nice for me. And I thought to myself, I said, you know, what a great way just to say, I appreciate what you've done and helped me there. So it's a great way just to say that and all. Also, we need new members. I know we've got several new members here in Herman, but we can always use a few more. And if you know somebody that's not a member of Herman that you think would make a good Gideon, TC or Ferris or Nelson one, or some of us would love to talk to you. And all. Or if you would like to belong, we'd love to talk to you. Pastor and congregation, thank you for allowing me to share this report with you today. It's been a privilege to worship with you today, and God bless you all. And I thank you for what you go give the offering in advance, because we don't ever know who it might touch or how many lives it might touch. You just think one Bible for each five is 23, has a potential of reaching 2,300 souls. That's a lot for $5. Thank you, and God bless you.
Also, because we have been faithful in years past to give a sizable offering to the Gideon organization. And so, thank you, Brother James, for being with us. Well, this is Mission Focus Sunday, maybe. We're going to switch gears a little bit. You've heard about your participation with the Gideons, and now the team wants to share with you about your participation in the Brazil mission trip. I'm looking for a scripture. Where is it? Okay, thank you, Lord. Again, this year we had a wonderful trip. As you've heard, we started with some challenges, but we're not going to focus on the challenges, because when you give your challenges to God, He gives you victories. And He gave us a victory in the end. Approximately 3,500 decisions was made through the efforts and God's power of the 160 members, I believe, across about six or seven states who made up the Brazil team this year. We went to Manaus, which it was our first trip to this city. You always have challenges when you go to a new city. The Brazilians just cannot put their fingers or their arms or their understanding around 160 Americans landing on a Saturday in their city and accomplishing all the things that we feel God has prepared us and planned for us to do. So we face challenges. But you take them to the Lord in prayer, which is what we did on Monday. As you heard, Miss Nancy was sick and could not go out on Monday. And some others, their church didn't really make some plans for them, so they had nothing to do. So we gathered in the hotel and we prayed. By the way, I opened up a drawer in that hotel room and there was the Gideon Bible. I said, it looked like it had been there for a while. I told TC, I said, I believe this one needs to be replaced. But praise the Lord. Well, I got to talk quickly because there's other people got to talk to. I want to say thank you for your prayer support and financial support. There was a designated gift of $500 given for to be used at the construction site. So TC took that with him and it was used to purchase materials and other needs concerning the construction. John 14:6 says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That is the verse that's on the back of our shirts, the first part of the verse, and that was the seemed to be the theme and the thought and the purpose for which we were there to share. Jesus is the way, the only way. We met two of our IMB missionaries, and I guess that was the thing that excited me the most this year, was meeting two of our IMB missionaries. You support. You're part of their work as you give to the Lottieman Christmas offering, as we give to the cooperative program. And we were very, very impressed with the missionary who really coordinated the purchase of all the materials for three construction sites. He took care of all of that this year. And Aaron Elps is his name. He and his family have been in Brazil for 12 years, and the IMB is getting ready to move them. About 5 years ago, the IMB, in connection with the Brazilian Baptist Convention of the State of Amazonas, we have there's one Brazilian family here today. The Amazonas is a huge state. And they began a project called Radically Amazonas. And they are intentionally working to go out into the interior area of this state. It is a large state up at the top of Brazil. A lot of jungle area and interior, and Aaron shared with us a little bit, and this was his words, and he choked up when he said it. There are people in the Amazonas who have never heard the name Jesus. He said, that is unacceptable. We as Baptists are going to penetrate. They're going to focus on training people to go out by twos, to go into the internal areas of this huge state and begin working with the people and telling them about Jesus. People, we are a part of that. Oh my goodness, just as we're a part of all these Bibles that get placed in the hotels, and we're a part of this. Can you imagine? Just think about it. It should excite us. It should get us on fire because we're a part of God's amazing work. I'll have pictures later, prayer cards of these two families. The IMB is moving Aaron and his family about 6 or 7 miles up the Amazon River to an area that does not have an evangelical presence and no place to worship. So the IMB is assigning them to go as business people. They will be running a tour business. And the purpose of it is to connect with the nationals, train the nationals how to do these tours, how to be tour leaders. But through all of that, they're going to be sharing Jesus. It's just amazing to me, the things that we're able to do now. Okay, let's see what else I wanted to share with you. That's about our IMB missionaries. I want to focus now on the Baptist church, the building, the congregation rather, that we were privileged to help build the building for them. A drunk in the community was saved about 4 years ago. He went home and shared with his family, and members of his family were saved. Out of that began a Bible study in the home, and then it grew into the congregation that it is now, 47 members. The present pastor, by the way, got organized by an 84-year-old pastor. That's who went to the home and helped get the congregation organized. The new pastor has been there just about a year, and I want to share very quickly with you the goals of this church. First of all, their vision, their mission, and their strategy for accomplishing or reaching their goals. The name of the congregation is Central Missionary Baptist Church, and it's located in one of the favela areas, very poor area of the little community. By the way, Manaus has about 2 million people, so there was lots of people there, a lot of little places to go and minister. All right, this is the vision. We want to be a multiplier church. 47 people now, keep that in mind. To make 1,500 disciples of Jesus. This is their 2020 goal. Plant 2 new churches. Implant 300 small groups to send and assist in the financial support of 10 missionaries. To construct a home-based church following the will of our sovereign God. And praise God, you and I and the mission team help build their base, home-based church. All right, their mission to reach this goal. Live with purpose. Proclaim the good news of the gospel. To teach believers to serve the Lord. To live in communion with others and worship God. With heart, soul, understanding, and strength. Okay, what is their strategy? Pray without ceasing. Evangelize and disciple. To plant churches in small groups. To form leadership for ministries. To have compassion and grace for all people. 47 people with those kind of goals. And a strategy to meet them. I received much more than I gave as I interacted with those Brazilians and saw the enthusiasm that they have and the zeal that they have for reaching the people in their community for Jesus. And folks, I pray that Herman can once again catch a glimpse of what God wants us to. Nancy and Jim said to tell everybody hello. It was a great week of working with them. Fortunately, Jim was out there on the site this year because PC needed him to help with the translation. They will see us at homecoming, so look forward to seeing them in September.
Because I'm really nervous. Normal. So... If you don't know, I'm Debbie Isom, and I was on the street team. And from the time we left here, we had a lot of spiritual warfare going on, and we knew in our hearts that Satan's work was to try to get us discouraged and get us to turn on each other, and then we wouldn't be affected. You know, Jesus wouldn't be able to work through us if we were discouraged. And praise the Lord, we recognized this, and we gave that to the Lord. One of the head men from Louisiana has been very sick. And he had surgery and had some complications after the surgery, but he came on this trip regardless, and which spoke volumes to me about the dedication that he has for what God has called him to do. But they met opposition every way they turned. His wife is the leader of the drama team. And I cannot tell you all the things that they came up against right away. They had no van. They had no interpreters. One night, the second night we were there, they had bought a new sound system, and they plugged it into a 220 and blew it up. We were already in a park. We were already set up to get started for them to do the drama when this happened. And there's no way they could do it without a sound system. You know, I watched the man who, the head guy who had had the surgery, and he's out there with them and his wife and all the opposition and things that have happened. And, you know, it was just amazing that they did not allow Satan, that we didn't just pack up and leave at that moment and say, you know what, we can't do it. But his wife said, we need to pray. We were in a public park, and people had already gathered around just to see. They didn't know what was going to go on, but, of course, they see all of a bunch of Americans, so a lot of people had gathered around. We got into a circle, and we began to pray. And one man went and got to the hotel and got another sound system from our street team and brought it back. And God is greater. Many people came to know the Lord that night out there in the park, you know, and it was to God be the glory for that, because we can't draw anybody. We can't save anybody. Only he has the words of life. The second thing I want to say this morning is I want to be real with y'all for just a moment. As we were singing in the praise team, you know, I've been praying about what God wanted me to talk about. And I want to be real with you. I wish I could just talk about the weather. I wish I could just get up here and talk about surface things. But for some reason, God does not allow me to be that person. And as I was singing on the praise team, I was just working it out with the Lord, and he always wins. I don't know why I don't just go ahead and give in the very beginning, because he always wins. Gave me this verse on the way to church today. I did not want to read it, but I'm going to read it because he gave it. This is a message from the one who is the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know all things you do, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish you were one or the other. But since you are like lukewarm water, I will spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich. I have everything I want. I don't need a thing. And you don't realize that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I am the one who corrects and disciplines everyone I love. Be diligent and turn from your indifference. On Sunday morning, we went out to a hippie fair. The hippie fair is just like a big, huge flea market where people make their products and bring them to sell. I was going there to buy for family and friends who had helped me come and who I had left behind. And this was my mission, was to shop. I was with a group from the street team who are very zealous for the Lord and who are on fire for God. And as I was about to chop, the Holy Spirit says to me, "You need to be over there." But that interpreter and another street team member leading people to me. That's what your mission should be today. I wish I could say that I immediately ran over there. I stood in one place and I went to this side was the shopping and they were on the side and I back and forth for longer than I should have. But as I said, he always wins. I ended up with the street team and the interpreter. And that morning, 30-something people asked Jesus to come into their heart. And we didn't even make it back for the worship service because so many people were coming to the Lord. In my life, I have been cold and I have been hot. And lately, I have been lukewarm. And I don't want to be lukewarm. I have allowed the very thing that God called me to do, to go to school, to take priority. And I needed to save it. Because James 1:6 says, "Confess your sins one to another that you might be healed." So I'm asking God to forgive me. And I'm asking my church to forgive me. You know, this church has been on my heart because in my mind, others were lukewarm. And God showed me in the last couple of days that I've been lukewarm. And I know this is not the end of the service. But at the end of the service, I will be down here. And I want to ask that if any of you feel the way I feel, just as when we got in a circle and prayed in that park, if we give it to the Lord, he will set us on fire again. Thank you.
First of all, I just want to thank everybody who gave money, who prayed for us while we were gone. I don't think I've ever done it before, but I really want to thank you for that because without that, I wouldn't be able to go. And I realized this year how blessed I am to be able to go and to do that kind of thing, to be able to go to Brazil and to be able to share the gospel with the Brazilians. And I don't know that I've ever appreciated it as much as I have this year. So for all that you've done and all that you continue to do, in that effort, I just want to say thank you. I was on the sports team, and there were about 10 of us all together. There are some slides rolling by behind me that kind of show where we were at. The main place that we went was different schools every day. We went to a couple of schools multiple times, but we were normally in a different place every day. We had two sessions, one in the morning and one in the afternoon. And how it worked is we would go into the schools, we would teach them basketball. If there was a place, we would usually try to play baseball, and then we would usually get the brakes beat off of us in soccer. So that's the normal way we did things. And then after we were done with that, we would give a couple of testimonies of how God has worked in our life, and then somebody would present the gospel. And probably the biggest impact on me this year in presenting the gospel, this is the first time that I've ever done that as the norm. There were two guys, me and another guy, that had been on the sports team before, and so it kind of fell on us to do that. I presented the gospel before, but never this much. And the thing that hit me the most, or hit me the hardest when I was presenting the gospel, was the fact that Jesus didn't have to come and die for us. He chose to do that. Like the quartet saying this morning, it should have been me. It should have been it's my sin. It should have been me that was on the cross. It should have been me that pays the penalty for my sin. But the fact that Jesus did that for me is more than I can ever, you know, thank him for, more than I can imagine. The fact that he was willing to do that, the fact that God was willing to give his son, his only son, so that I wouldn't have to die, so that I wouldn't have to pay the penalty for my sin. And so that everything would be different. I knew that it was something that's not, you know, not gotten past me before, but, I don't think it's ever really hit me that hard that he didn't have to do that. We were his enemies. In our sin, we were God's enemy, and he loved us enough to do that even while we hated him. So anyway, we had a total of 155 people that made professions of faith on the sports team. We had a lot of challenges, as everybody else has spoken, but like Mama said, this was the first year there, and that's kind of normal from what I hear, that these things come up and these things happen. From not having places lined up to go, to language barriers, to learning new interpreters. You know, we had all kinds of things that happened, but the good thing in that was that we saw God work in every single situation. We saw him bring us out of those situations, and you know, I'm glad they happened, because we were able to see God's glory through that. If those things hadn't happened, I wouldn't have seen his glory in that way. So I'm glad that those things happened. And I'm glad that I was able to go. So again, I just want to thank all you guys that prayed for us while we were gone, that prayed in preparation, that gave. Because of that, I was able to go. So thank you.
Y'all, I'm Chris. I was on the construction team, me and TC. And like everybody's talking about, there was a lot of challenges this year. But one of the things that was pretty cool about this construction team we had, well, when we got there, wasn't nothing right, wasn't nothing the way we normally see it, and it's kind of like, this is going to be a fun week. And then we had the sun to deal with. The sun was kind of nice. But what really got me about the building we built this year was like we was talking earlier. The guy that had got saved that was the drunk, he started a church there and everything, and he literally tore his house down for us to build this church where his house was. And that was awesome to see that. First, he started a church. He had all the people. They had people, you know, these people dedicated so much to helping us this week. It was unreal. I mean, they was there from sun up to sundown. They was helping us. But just the idea of the man gave his house up for the Lord. And they had been praying about that, trying to decide how they was going to build them a church, how they was going to get this. And always on God's plan. We can't change it. The Americans appeared to them and said, we'll build your church. And it was a good week. Everything we did was you know, it's a lot of work doing construction. But it's fun. We get to play with the Brazilians. And they say, you're going to lose weight when you go to Brazil. I ain't lost any weight in Brazil yet. They fed us some of the best food. They took care of us. They stayed on with us. And they didn't give up. But the biggest thing to me, like I said, was God literally gave his house so he could have a church in his community to get everybody coming to church. And then the way they just stuck with us, it was awesome. And we want to thank y'all for all y'all's support.
One of the amazing things that stood out to me was with this building that we built, with 48 members, 47, 48 members, I would ask God to make sure I'm right about this, but in the week that we were there, I think every member of that church was out there working, either on the site or working and preparing food and preparing for our needs sometime during that week. They are dedicated. They are being blessed by God. This is hard to believe, but in 59 days, they tore down his garage and part of his house, if not all of it. He donated the land or gave the land. In 59 days, they signed the land over to the church, got everything prepared for us to be there, and the church was built within 59 days from the time this God put this into place. That's amazing. In America, we can't do that. You can't do anything like that fast. But it's amazing. One of the things, too, that stands out is that man was there every day working, encouraging, being a big part of what has gone on. Somebody already shared, I think Brenda and Chris spoke of this a little bit. When this man got saved, he went home and he started working on his family. All of his family got saved. Did he stop there? No. He moved out to the neighborhood, to his neighbors. And he started to sharing Jesus Christ with his neighbors. And the neighbors started getting saved. And they have a plan. The building that we built is actually 12 feet longer than our normal building. They added a stage area 12 feet to the end of our building. Well, this hadn't really been approved when we got there. So I told them we would have to get approval. I went back and talked to our leaders, and the missionary, Aaron, called me the next morning, and he said, "You have approval on the building." A very rich man in Manaus, and I'm not sure whether he's a believer or not, but he stepped up and he said, "I'll pay for all the extra material if they can do the work." So the 12 feet on the back of the church that you see is a platform area. That was extra. That was just another one of the things. The floor wasn't poured when we got there. But you know what? That really did not slow us down. One of the other teams that slowed down, they had ours leveled out, and we were ready to go to work. One of the things that this trip was for me, okay? When we go on a mission trip, Debbie's already mentioned, a lot of times we go to help other people and we're the ones that get helped the most. Herman, I want you to look around this morning. We got a lot of empty seats. And I know some people are on vacation. But the other thing that bothers me is we've lost our vision. We've taken our eyes off of Jesus, put them on us and other things. This week, this trip reignited me and my fire for the Lord. And our administrative team, they asked me to serve as, if I would serve as Sunday school director again this year. And I told them, yes, that I wanted to serve one more year because I didn't do much last year. The job that I did was not my best. And I want to do that this year. We've got a lot of Sunday school classes that are hurting. We've got a lot of Sunday school classes that's got potential. But the only way we're going to do that, if you notice every one of their things, what's their strategy that Brenda said? What's our strategy? How are we going to improve Herman Baptist Church? How are we going to grow Herman Baptist Church? First thing we had to do is just like them, bathe it in prayer. And then we've got to accept the challenges that we... Donnie made a statement about 2 months ago from the pulpit that at first I thought, you know, that's a little bit harsh. But God's opened my eyes to the fact, he said from the pulpit that Herman Baptist is the most apathetic that he's ever seen, Herman Baptist. You don't have to raise your hands, but I know God has shown me that we are. And you look, you think, are we satisfied? Do we care? God's love and grace is the most important thing that we have, right? Without his grace, we'd be lost. Without his love, we would be in hell when we die. But because of that, we have peace knowing that we have a place to be with him. But God's love and grace, we need to make a response. We have to accept it before it's any good, right? He's placed that in our hearts to respond to him, to accept him. But God's calling is the other thing I want to share. Has God placed the calling on your life? When you accepted him, did you receive a calling? Can anybody tell me what that calling is? Great Commission, what is it? As you are going, or go and tell, as you are going. You know, the thing that we have to, that I realized about this church and our church is we need to get back on track on reaching people. I don't want to show hands again. How many of you, this is just something for you to think about. How many of you shared Jesus Christ with anybody this week? How many of you invited anybody to church this week? You know, if we love God the way we say we love God, that should be the topic of our conversations. And a lot of times it's not. And I'm not here to put you down because I'm the chief of sinners. I have not done what I'm supposed to do. God's shown me that. But I will say, with his leadership, I plan to this year and starting this year. I'm a Gideon. You know, in the Gideons, we have PWTs, which personal witness and testimony, that we should carry with us all the time. A Gideon should have one in his pocket anytime, so that when God gives him the opportunity to share, he'll be able to pull that PWT out, share it with somebody, and give them that scripture. We're commissioned the same way as we're going. You know, if we are really on fire for the Lord, we should carry whether it's a Gideon testament or what kind of testament in our pocket, so that when God puts somebody in our way, that we can share with them. One of the things that this pastor of this church, his motto, or the motto for the church, and his motto is something that we learned in experiencing God a good many years ago, but this brought it back home. It's not worded the same way his is, but his commitment says, partner with God, dream big, and remember who your partner is. Now, that's experiencing God. If we partner with God, is anything too great for him? Our problem is sometimes we take leadership and don't let God have the leadership. Individually, church-wide, whatever. We are losing ground as far as in this community. I'm not saying Herman Baptist Church is losing ground, but we're losing ground in this community because we're not reaching the people that we need to. This building was for the Brazilians, but what I learned there was me. And it wasn't about, it was about the, what the quartet sang about this morning. You know, it's not about me. It's about the cross. And that's the message we got to share. Like they shared in song today, that's the message we got to share every day with everybody we come in contact with. God sends people to us to be able to share. But it's not about me. It's about the cross. We have to take time from our and give that response. We had some obstacles, but you know what? Chris, I think, worded that as about as good as we could word it. Or Trey, one of them, was talking about the obstacles, and they said they were thankful. And, you know, we've got some obstacles ahead of us. But we need to be thankful for them. We need to think about what God wants to do instead of about what has happened or what can happen. We need to keep our eyes on the vision. This church, several years ago, we even went through a process of planning and doing vision for what 2015, 2016, whatever it was. But we've lost our vision. And that's hard for me to say. But we have lost our vision. We need to get refocused on what God wants us to do instead of what we want to do individually. Debbie mentioned something about coming to the altar. And I'm going to ask that even the praise team not even get in place. I'm going to ask that just be a quiet time with you and with God. And if God's placed on your heart a desire to see Herman become and be the church that God's called us to be, I'm going to ask if you'd come to the front and bathe that in prayer. God may show you what he wants you to do. He may show us what he wants us to do. But a lot of times, even our group that's the pianist and the other people that are singing, they don't have an opportunity to go to the altar sometimes. So I'm going to ask that we just have a few quiet minutes. And if you feel the urge to come to the altar and turn your life over to God and ask him to and pray to him that God will make us be the church that we should be, then come forward and join us.